All right. Well, today is the 16th of January, 2019. I'm Anne here with Michelle.
All right.
So just give me a sense of, you know, I read your email and I'm just wanting to find out from you what it would be really useful, you know, if we did end up working together, what would you love to go away with?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. I mean, I've done Strength Finders stuff a couple of different times, and I'm really intrigued by the conversations that have come out of it. And I've begun seeing the possibility, if I was better able to help other people talk about strengths, seeing how valuable that might be. And so I think what I would like to learn more about is the process, what the resources are around learning more about strengths and what the processes for or possibilities are in terms of getting certified to or feeling confident in presenting on strengths and facilitating conversations with others around strengths.
Yeah. And so are you imagining facilitating a conversation with a person one-on-one around their strengths? Are you imagining small groups or teams? Are you imagining training or team building, maybe all of it?
Yeah, I think in order of priority, the training and team building, which then to teams of people, to groups of people. So I do a lot of presentations to church leadership teams that are trying to figure out how to kind of find their way forward in different ways. And so I think having the conversation about strengths or the presentation about strengths in my toolbox could be really helpful as I talk to congregations about helping leadership culture and just helping individual leaders also see their potential and their contribution, and also helping leadership teams untangle areas of what I call like relational congestion.
I hear you. Beautiful. So are you doing that now in an informal capacity and it's adding strengths to the mix, or where are you in your professional journey?
So in my professional journey, I have a couple of different presentations that I do for congregations, and strengths is not yet one of them. But I do present in a formal basis on a regular basis, and I'm getting more and more requests to present on. And so I think having this as something I can speak to could be really helpful. I'm also in the process of collecting hours as a coach. So I have the level one training to be a coach. And so having the language around strengths could help me as I begin meeting more and more with one-on-one people, which I don't do as much, but I intend to do that more. So in terms of strength, I don't do anything informally. Not on any large basis. I just reference it quite frequently.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I've put together one kind of informal presentation on strengths that I used in my previous context. And that's what kind of triggered like, oh, maybe I should start looking into making sure that I understand this correctly, or, you know, maybe there's more that I can understand about this if I'm going to add it to my toolbox as I begin to share with people, you know, what the different presentations I can do are.
Sure. And when you say presentation, do you mean 30 minutes in front of a room, kind of like, here's the idea of what would your life be like if you knew your strengths and worked with them? Or is it like a day-long something?
Yeah, so more and more I do in the church world, we call them more retreats. So they're more like day-long things. And what I see the value of, like if I was to gain skills in this, would be to go into a congregation for a longer retreat to help them kind of identify, understand, and begin defining and activating their strengths, and then follow up with them, you know, the leadership team or the pastor, to help them use strengths in their what they're trying to do to be a healthier, you know, a healthier team or a healthier community.
Fantastic. Okay. So that gives me a really good idea. I just did one of those a month ago with a pastor and his wife and their four teams. So we had 28 people in the room in four teams and worked a day like that. Does that sound like,
Yep.
Okay.
I would love to be able to kind of feel confident that I could offer something like that and feel like I know what I'm talking about.
All right. Fantastic. I got it. So let me clarify. I am not employed by Gallup.
Okay.
So Gallup does have a certification to become, I'm not even sure what they call it, if they call it, I think it's probably just StrengthsFinder certified, and then you could coach and you could train. And there are several other organizations that have certifications and training around StrengthsFinder. Mm-hmm. The one I'm certified in is called Strength Strategy, and I just chose it because it was more application-based than, you know, Gallup is a research organization, and they developed this brilliant assessment. I find sometimes some of their other systems that support it are, I don't know, a little outdated maybe.
I'm glad you said that, because that's been kind of my my evaluation as I've been digging into this recently.
Oh, my goodness. I don't in any way want to badmouth Gallup, because they made this amazing assessment, right?
Yeah.
I appreciate your input.
But, like, what do you do with it, right? What do you do with it? Now that I know this, what do you do with it? And that's the part that I'm interested in.
Yes, exactly. So there's a few ways we could approach it if you wanted us to work together. One of my top strengths is individualization, and I tend to do primarily one-on-one work. As I mentioned, I do facilitate teams and groups like this church I just worked with, and that's great, and I can do it, and my sweet spot is one-on-one. So I tend to train a lot of trainers, because we just get to who you are, what you want, where you want to go deeper, until you feel like, great, I've got what I need. But it's not certified. So if that's important to you, or if the church is paying and wants certified, what's your sense of all of that?
I don't need to be certified unless strength is copyrighted and I can't talk about it unless I have permission. Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah, it's nothing like that at all.
Okay.
Great. What part of the country are you in, Michelle?
I'm in Florida.
Gotcha. And since I know you work for the church, do you work all over, or do you primarily work in Florida? Where are your constituents?
Yeah, so I generally work in Florida. I work for the Synod, the Lutheran Synod office in Florida. So I visit a lot of Lutheran congregations in Florida.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that would be my first target audience. Hopefully that's not the only target audience, but currently that's my audience.
Yeah. What do you see long-term for yourself?
I mean, I would love to, and this is right, like I would love to put together I'm beginning to craft this vision of putting together kind of a toolbox of retreats and presentations that I can make available to the broader, you know, to the broader church around everything from, you know, call me in to lead your women's Bible study to call me in to help your congregational leaders do some visioning conversation about the future to come and help train up our, you know, educational team at the beginning of the year and help us figure out how to be a better team together. So I would love to just build a kind of a toolbox of resources that I can share and train into in the context of congregational life. That's really where my area of strength, you know, my area of giftedness is.
Say that again, what you consider your area of giftedness?
Like, I can talk to people about the church, right? Like, I can't talk to people about science and engineering. I can talk to people about God and the church and what it means to be church, all things kind of church work and church life. So as much as I would, you know, I sort of say, what if I wasn't in the church? But in reality, that's the language I know most. That's the thing I'm best at talking about.
Gotcha. Yeah, perfect. How long have you been with the church?
In professional capacity for 8 years.
Nice. Yeah. My baby sister used to work in corporate America, and she had a vision that she was to work for her local church. And I coach my relatives, but usually it's pretty hilarious, but she took it really seriously, like she was an actual client, and did the work and took the steps. And it took like a year, and she has a position now that uses the strengths she has and the gifts, you know, that she has from her specific job in corporate America and took it to her church. And she's worked for the Catholic Church 3 or 4 years now. And, oh, my gosh, watching her blossom spiritually and professionally, and she took a significant pay cut, you know.
Yeah, so sure.
It's just been really awesome. So it's inspired me to support more churches. You know, like if I can – train anybody about strengths, why not go right to the important place?
Oh, my goodness. And I just think that if we can help people within the church be healthy people, we will have a lot healthier churches, right? We have so many churches that are tearing each other up because the leaders aren't healthy leaders and people can't see beyond themselves. And So, I mean, unfortunately, communities and within the church are not necessarily, they're just not nice to each other.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I don't have a lot of experience with that, thankfully.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always hope that people have different experiences, but if you talk, you know, if you, particularly leaders in the church, as I have led, you know, been more, stepped more into leadership, I see how leadership in the church can really drain people. And I just want to help leaders be equipped and know how to lead well and how to facilitate and foster healthy leadership culture.
Yeah, for sure. Well, good for you. It's a calling.
Yeah.
So talk to me for a second about, I know you sent me two sets of strengths, 2010, 2015. I want to just understand your short version of how you relate to that, and then I'll tell you if we were to work together how we might proceed with that.
Yeah, so I took the first set of strengths. I took the first assessment when I was in formation for ministry, right? So I was kind of in training to be in church in a professional capacity. I was really intrigued. I connected immediately with the communication strength and with the input. I think that one was the one that I was like, oh, that's why when I was a kid, I was constantly, like I always had collections, right? I just had, like I collected shells, I collected stuffed animals, I love trinkets, I love, you know, just sets. I love collecting sets. But then as I learned about, well, input might also mean that you collect information. I thought that's why I love to learn a lot about a little about a lot. But I don't necessarily feel like I have to dig into, you know, details or depth necessarily. And so I love to be able to gather information and then present it, you know. And then, like, the connectedness, as I was looking back on it, I was like, oh, the connectedness, that makes sense, because I'm constantly kind of drawing connections between religion and culture in ways that most people don't even see, right? So I'll see a movie, and I'll be like, oh, that's totally the story. Those people are definitely wrestling with just this thing that I was thinking about when I was preparing my sermon. And so I'll use that sermon in my, or that illustration, that movie in my sermon. Yeah. And people would be like, oh, I've never even thought to connect those two concepts. As well as I love to connect, you know, people, like finding people with a skill and then saying, oh, you need to, you know, you should talk to this person. And keeping like bits of information about people in my head so that when someone says, you know, I'm looking for this, I can say, oh, hey, this is someone who can help you with that. Or have you thought about this? Or have you, you know, thought about that? So I definitely have seen those, you know, those strengths at work. And I think they helped me, once I had words for them, they helped me claim those things about myself, so that I could explain, this is why I would be better at this kind of contribution rather than this kind of contribution.
Yes.
And I've been thinking a lot about that now in my current job, because there's some pieces of my job that I'm resisting or struggling with, and so I'm trying to figure out how to talk about those. What is it about that job responsibility that I feel like I'm not performing well? And so going back into the strength language has said, oh, that's because I feel like I'm being asked to function in ways that don't resonate with, you know, my strength. But if I can reframe and say, okay, so if these are the things that where I'm strong, how can I bring those things into my work? And who else on my team can I share some of these tasks with that I don't feel, not only do they not give me life, I'm just not doing them well.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. I'm glad you see that.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about it again recently. And then I came around to strengths a couple years later, took a different assessment through a different organization and came up with slightly different strengths, which I didn't even realize they were different until I sent you both sets. I was like, oh, they're slightly different. There's some connection, but they're slightly different. And I think that speaks to, you know, maturity and environment a little bit.
It very much
But
does.
I agreed with all of them, right? Like, I agreed with all of them, and I thought, yeah, there. I can see how at different times in my life, different things have been more prominent, or different aspects of these words have been more prominent in my sense of self.
So, I think the only thing that's worth mentioning about that right now is, if we were to work together, probably what I'd have you do is get your 34 in order from 2008. Gallup has stayed very consistent with saying the first time you take it is the most accurate. And probably what would happen is you would see these other ones that didn't appear in your 2008 one, ideation, the relator, and the intellection. You'll see them in the next view, more than likely.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, I can see them at work. Exactly.
It would be worth looking at that report too. They've lowered the price of it, so it makes it a little bit more accessible. I also took the assessment twice. I took it the second time. I took the first time when the book first came out in 2001. And when StrengthsFinder 2.0 came out, I thought it was a different, you know, the upgraded assessment. So then I went ahead recently and got my 34 for both. And little variation, but you can see your strengths don't change a lot. It's like how you use them is the power, you know. So we would look at that for you and help you understand that for other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things I could offer you. One is we could train you on exactly what you want to be trained in, and it would be you and me. I also have another coach who has been waiting a couple of months for me to have somebody else who would basically like to training share to make it more affordable for her, which I'm open to, but I haven't had anybody who's wanted to do that yet. So if you are interested in that, we could talk about that too. Essentially, then it would be what she was interested in, what you're interested in, and what I know you both would need to know no matter what. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
And so given that, ask me some questions, point me in a direction that's useful to you.
I mean, at the end of the day, it kind of comes down to what the costs are. I'm not at all opposed to the training share because I value that sort of learning from community. And because I don't have a really clear sense of where I want to, I have some sense of where I want to land, but I'm also not particularly urgent about the, you know, about the destination, so to speak. I'm really just interested in the conversation and learning what I can. What I'm most interested in is feeling like I know enough to then do a decent presentation.
Sure.
In facilitating the assessment and helping people reflect on what they, you know, what the assessment says about them.
Okay. And by presentation, we're now talking about within the retreat, at least a day long. Is that what you're thinking?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's several layers of stuff, material to get into. And to me, it requires at least a day to do the foundation. And ideally, it'd be lovely if you could have people for another retreat, even a year later, to deepen it. And the big trick, the thing that I'm still working diligently on, and a couple of my colleagues are too, is how do you help it stick after the retreat's over, right?
Yep, exactly, exactly.
I'm just making some notes. Give me a second. I'm a terrible multitasker. All right. So what other things would you want to know from me specifically for you to have a good sense if we would be a good fit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I need to know anything necessarily. Again, it's the timing and the cost for me, but also, I don't think I need to know anything necessarily. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. And so timing, what kind of timing would be ideal for you?
That depends on the cost.
Okay.
Because if it's, right, because if it, it depends on, depending on the cost, depends on who I need to ask for what money and at what pace I can get that money. So, because I've got a couple of like continuing ed resources that just, and so depending on the cost will tell me kind of, you know, what else I have going on in my thinking in terms of continuing ed for this year, what I could afford, and whether you know, whether you're saying once a month, once a quarter, you know, I think it, for me, it starts with how much is it going to cost and how long does that, whatever, like, let's say your total package is $1,500. What does that, how much time does that give me? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Is it $1,500 for 6 weeks? Is it $1,500, but you can go at your own pace? Is it $1,500 for the first session? You know, that kind of.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. And ideally, you'd like to be able to be confident in giving a presentation at a retreat by when?
Oh, probably the by the fall for sure. By the fall for sure, that would be the earliest. If it was possible earlier, that would be fine. But I'm just thinking about my calendar between now and then. And again,
sure.
I'm not sure what you're referring to in terms of, like, I'm not sure the time commitments that you would be asking. And so if I need to set aside a week, that's going to be different than if I can do it one day a week for 3 months. You know what I mean? So,
yes. So let's talk about that for a second, because I have a personal bias that it's way better to do a chunk, have you go away, be with it, practice it, play with it yourself, and then come back and do another chunk. You know, sometimes it's imperative to just do a training all at once.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally haven't seen people get as much value that way. So ideally, that's how I would do it if that fits for you.
I mean, that's fine, because I've been sort of, once I started thinking about doing strength, trying to get into strength more seriously, you know, I was thinking there's got to be like a training seminar, there's got to be, you know, someone's got to offer something where those of us who are interested in strengths could come together for a 4-day event and then get what we need to get and then follow up with a, you know, like there's got to be some model out there. I just don't know what the possibilities are.
Yeah, and I don't know what you're describing. I'm sure there's people who have an interest in that. None of my colleagues do something like that, but that doesn't mean there isn't somebody I don't know, you know, who is doing
that's
it.
That's interesting. So most of the training happens through, like, one-on-one coaching?
No, I think that this is atypical. It tends to happen through training. So the training that I told you I was certified in strength strategy, the way they did that, I'm thinking it was a six-month program, and we met 3 or 4 times a month. It was super robust and definitely well worth it, and quite a chunk of time commitment and a chunk of money commitment, but so worth it. They now are not doing that program anymore, and they're doing a new one called People Acuity, which I didn't even really understand why they changed or what they'd done, because this training was so brilliant. So I use the pieces of it that make sense to use, you know, without infringing on their copyright, and they're off doing something else now. So I think that's more typical, because there was one other company that I looked into that also had basically an alternative to getting certified by Gallup, because I think Gallup's is pretty robust too. Many months, many thousands of dollars. I don't remember all the specifics. Have you looked into other ones at all?
I haven't. I mean, like I said, this was just kind of a recent thought for me, was that, like, oh, and then I found some website that said, if you want to learn more, submit here, right? So I haven't really looked into what the possibilities are. You're my first kind of exploration into what might one possibility be.
Sure. Well, and I would imagine with input, you might want more than one possibility.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't looked at it recently. I don't know, you know, there may be other people doing it that I'm just not aware of. Obviously, I get involved in my work and then not paying attention to what other people are doing. So that being said, since Kelly, this other gal that I was telling you about, was waiting for a training share buddy, if we were to do something like that, and the reason I tend to do it one-on-one is I have individualization in my top five, so I love it, and then I'm best at it. And not everybody wants this, right? So there's plenty of people who say, oh, that's not what I was looking for. But if we were to do something where I would train both you and Kelly at the same time, and I know you said the timing depends on the cost, if you could structure it in a way that was as ideal for you as you can imagine right now, do you know what that would be?
In terms of pace, is that what you're talking about?
And timing, like, you'd be so excited to get started next week and this would be the pace you'd want, or no, you actually would rather wait to start until April and this would be the pace you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, I think I couldn't start this month, but I could maybe start in February if it was like once a month kind of. I'm assuming that we're talking about an online or phone gathering and not I don't have to travel anywhere.
No, you don't have to travel.
Yeah, so I could reasonably start something in February or March and probably do like twice a month. And then in the fall, if I waited until the fall, I could plan to be more available. But now, you know, life has already kind of set its course. So
yeah. Gotcha. Wow. All right. I'm making notes again.
And that's right. I can always be talked into something else, but that's like about twice a month. I feel like that gives me, I can make myself available for that. There's time in between conversations to do some application and reflection.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yes.
It's close enough to one another that you don't forget what you'd said last time.
Exactly. I wouldn't recommend any more than twice a month unless there was all of a sudden you knew you were leading a retreat and you had to be up to speed, you know? And I prefer not to work under that kind of pressure anyway. All right. So what else? Is there anything else you can think that's important to share with me either about you and your interests, or if we did, probably what I'll do is I'll talk to Kelly and see where she's at and what seems feasible for her. And then if it sounds like there's enough overlap, I could give both of you an idea of what it would be for you to do it together or what it would be for you to do it individually.
Okay. How long does what you do, how long does that take? Is it like six sessions? Is it, what's the kind of break, but overall amount of time or whatever? I don't even know what the right word is, but.
Yeah, like what would be ideal for, if we do exactly what is optimal, would we be working together a few times or many times over 6 months? Is that the kind of thing you're asking?
Yeah, like are we talking about a 3 months, twice a month for 3 months? Are we talking about twice a month for 6 months? Are we talking about twice a month for 8 months? What's the time frame?
So because we're
possible.
Doing, yeah, exactly. Because we're doing it individually, or maybe in your cases together, we can do as much or as little as you want. Right now I'm starting with a woman who has to do the training in February. So we're giving her enough that, and she can only meet three times between now and then. So that's not ideal, but we'll make it work. I think ideally it would be more like, I don't know that we'd have to go 6 months, but 3 or 4 months would probably be more ideal. And I think from what I remember Kelly asking about, that's what she was interested in, because she's had all of her clients, she's a coach, and she's had her clients take the StrengthsFinder, but she realizes when she kind of gets in the thick of it, she's not quite sure what to do with it. And that's really uncomfortable for her because she has responsibility in her top five. So it's meant she's kind of had to back off that. So I know she'd probably rather go a little bit more in depth. So, and for you, I'm just looking at your strengths, and I could see you going either way with your communication and activator and connectedness. You would probably know what to do with just a few sessions, and your input and intellection and ideation might love to go longer. Is that accurate?
Outside of context, I probably will stay, like, give me what I need to know, and then I can generally do the application given the specific situation, right? So I'm pretty good at sort of taking a high-level summary, overview, core principles, and then I can expand them in ways that I need to. So what I'm most interested in is kind of getting the basics of the foundation. What do I need to know when I'm talking about strengths? How do I introduce it? What's most important for people to know? What are the key pieces that I need to understand about the different strengths as I interact with people who are saying, well, my strength says this, what does that mean about me? Or what do I need to know about the combinations so that I can understand where there's friction, how to help untangle that friction, you know, those kinds of things. But without kind of getting into it, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure what the content is exactly, right?
Yes.
Separate from what I could do research on my own, right? Like, I understand that I can read up on this stuff on my own, and I'm not sure what the what it is that I don't know, you know?
Right. Okay. That gives me a much more specific idea. So, like, the basics could easily take 3 or 4 sessions. And then what all the rest of it is the nuance. If you can imagine, the person who has input, communication, activator, connectedness, and arranger. Their sweet spot, like when all of those strengths are operating optimally and most mature, not overused, not underused, that's a whole different contribution than another person who has ideation, relator, intellection, connectedness, and input, all of those operating. Like, we do not operate one strength at a time, as I'm sure you're aware. And so all the rest of that time, if we did more sessions beyond the really basic foundation, would be exploring real life scenarios, both with individuals and when people have conflicts. That's something that a lot of coaches seem to want to know about. So, you know, I've got this person here who's in the organization and they manage this person, and here's the friction. What's going on? So we look at each of their sets of strengths and we do real life application, right? And so that then helps you start to discern, like when you get good enough at that, you won't need any further training because you'll be sitting with the strengths and with the people and with the person that's they're having trouble with, and it'll come to you intuitively, right? You're like,
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
So there's plenty of that we could do. Like when I've gone longer with people, it's because they're already working with teams or individuals or both, and they're bringing real-life scenarios to the sessions that we work through they start to see they can work through it. Does that make sense?
So I think my first level of interest is the core, just the sort of high-level overview stuff. I can see, you know, kind of phase two, if I find that I'm actually using this material, I can see the value of the workshopping specifics. But I'm not, I can also see how I might be fine without the, that second and third level, at least at first.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Almost everybody comes up against something, but until you come up against it, it doesn't matter, right? And I had one that I had to take to my mentor, I don't know, a year ago, but I'm like, I don't get it. What's going on here, right? So, and that makes sense. You know, we're continuing to grow. People are complex. We have a blind spot, whatever it is. So sounds like maybe what we ought to do is talk about either you or you and Kelly and just doing the foundation fundamentals, what you need to do a day long, and then maybe some high level ideas about how you look at specifics, and then maybe down the road you'd want workshopping, maybe you wouldn't.
Correct. Yep, that sounds like a good summary.
Okay. So anything else then that you think we should cover right now?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think at this point I'm interested in what you're, what you propose or what you would offer. I'm not, you know, again, depending on the timing, depending on what it is exactly that you would do, depending on how much it costs. I'm not, I haven't decided necessarily that this is going to be my continuing ed for this year. I'm just knocking on the door to see if I did decide, what would that look like, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So why don't I talk to Kelly and then put something together for you both, if I did work with both of you at the same time or if I worked with you just individually. Because if I work with you individually, then we really pick what's best for you. You know, that
that's right.
Maybe you wouldn't want to start until March or whatever it is.
Right.
So what is a good phone number to reach you at, Michelle?
My cell phone number is 321-576-3746.
321-576-3746.
Correct.
Okay. And I will, I'll actually email you something after I've talked to Kelly. And then since I know you're not even sure this is what you want to do, maybe you need some time to even decide that, even once you know what this could be. And so just for being respectful of her and her process, when would you imagine you'd have a sense of, yes, I want to do this, or no, I don't?
Well, again, it depends on the cost, right? Because
sure.
If I have to apply for money, then that takes that process, because I'm part of a community that I can ask for continuing ed money. But
great.
But if I have to, if the cost goes above what I can reasonably use out of my own continuing ed budget, and I have to go through that application process, then I have to decide if this is the year to do that, because I might be applying to them for something else this year, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're talking about $300 or $400, or if we're talking about $2,000, if we're talking about, and that matters, right? Because if we're talking 4 digits, then I might not even be able to do it this year, because my continuing ed resources are already used up in a big thing that I think is going to happen this year. But if we're talking about less than $500, then I might be able to say that's a reasonable, like, I would be willing to do something before the end of our academic year, right? So in April or May. But if it's much more than $400 or $500, then I'm going to say probably 2019 is not the year to do that, because I've got other big things that I'm going to be asking for for support on, and I can't do it out of my own money, so it has to be out of continuing ed money.
Sure, of course. And so when you say less than $400 or $500, do you mean total for right now?
Yeah.
So it probably wouldn't be that I would think we would need to do 4 sessions minimum, and it would probably be more like $500 a month. And then if both you and Kelly did it together, maybe we could do it for $350 a month, but that still would be $700. So
then we're looking at the fall, because I have to look at, I mean, that's good to know, right? Because I have to then say, okay, so is this thing that I want to do over the summer, it's either this or that. But that's good to know that those are the kinds of numbers that we're talking about, because that helps me know whether this is the year I can do it or not.
Yes. And so do you want more specifics? Like, do you want me to talk to Kelly and see if she would want to do this now or in the fall to proceed, or what would be useful to you at this point?
So I need to know how much it's going to cost at what time of the year, right? So if we do it now in the spring, this is how much it's going to cost. If we do it now in the fall, this is how much it's going to cost. If we do it with one person, this is how much it's going to cost. If we do it with two people, this is, so let's say like 4 sessions, right? Like, to try to get as specific as I can, what would I have to pay to do 4 sessions over 3 months? Let's say 4, 5 sessions over 3 months. Let's just put that as our boundaries.
Where did you come up with 5 sessions?
I don't know. You said 4 to 5 sessions. So I just, and you said 2 sessions a month. So I just said, in case one session has to, right? Like, it was kind of arbitrary.
Well, yes. And probably what we would do is, once we decide what it is, we'll just say it's this many sessions. We'll do it within this time frame. It'll be about every other week. It'll be a whole package thing, not a per month thing, but breaking it down by the month to help you see what it would look like.
Yeah, or I can just tell you, if it's more than $500, I can't do it, right? I mean, it depends on either. Like, I'm not sure what's more helpful for you. I can say, I can't do this because I don't know how much you charge. So,
right.
Well,
one thing we could do is, if you could do $500 and we could work out something with Kelly, then your money goes further, right? Because she's helping with the cost. And then we could do as much as we could do. So that would end up looking more like 2 sessions. Or if we could do 3 sessions then, if she were involved. And that would be helpful. You'd be halfway to having the basics, and certainly maybe even enough to put something together, to use it, to give it a test run. I don't know. I've never done anything where we've done it in parts. So some people love that and learn on the fly, and other people would never do that. And Kelly's probably one of those people who would rather have something complete that she feels real confident in. I'm guessing you probably could improvise more.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I think what I hear you saying is it's helpful to know that regardless of the timing, if it's more than $500, you need to find the money from somewhere, which puts it into the fall. Is that accurate?
Correct. Yeah.
And
if
you
it's
may
more
decide,
than, that's right. If it, I mean, $500, if it's like around the $750 range, right, then I can do that in the fall. If it's over $1,000, then I have to wait until I have another year of continuing ed, right? Like, then I have to start from scratch because that becomes my continuing ed for the year.
Gotcha. Over $1,000 would put it into 2020.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think if you and Kelly had enough in common, we could definitely keep it under $750. And I'm not a very long-term thinker. I do not have futuristic very high. So
yeah.
Talking about what we're going to do next year, I'm like, wait, I don't even know what I'm going to do this year.
Yeah.
So I would prefer to work with, this is your constraint. Now, does that fit with Kelly? And now we can do something that would work for both of you or not.
That's right. Because if we keep it within $500, I still have enough to do another event. But if we keep it to $750, then that becomes my one event that I can, my one continuing ed event that I can fund, right? So, because no other event is going to be less than $300, right? So if
yeah.
my total continuing
yeah.
ed budget is about $1,000, if it gets, you can go to an event for about $400, $500. You can't go to an, it's much rare, much more rare to be able to do training for less than $300. So,
mm-hmm.
So if we do $750, then it's this event and a couple of books, and that's my continuing ed for the year.
Yeah. I can see where that would not really be make your input very happy at all. For real.
Yeah.
And so how do you feel about, obviously you're not going to get as much training if we keep it under $500. How do you feel about getting half of it for now and pointed in the direction for the rest or whatever we would end up doing?
I'm okay with that because that's what,
okay.
I mean, to get started in the right direction, that would be what I would expect if I was going to go to a workshop at a conference center, you know, for a day long or an overnight. Like I would expect to get the
mm-hmm.
starting blocks and then,
yeah.
and then the tools to do my own follow-up. And I
yeah.
feel reasonably confident in my ability to do that follow-up on my own. So I'm not actively engaged in coaching or, you know, whatever. So it's not like I'm coming up against this on a daily basis. So I would feel like in two or three sessions, I could put together information that I could present in a day-long retreat that would present the information and get the conversation started, which would be okay with me.
Okay. Okay. And I probably should have mentioned earlier, my number one strength is maximizer. So for me, I get frustrated because so many people leave that one day and never do anything with it again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of on a personal mission to help equip people like you and individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the hook that keeps them in the conversation?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a personal bias on my part.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I get it.
Yeah. And I imagine that might be pretty different from, like, your personal bias might come more from, well, get them started. And, you know, if they take off, fine. And if not, they got a good start.
Yeah. I mean, that's because it's not going to connect the same with everybody. And some people
exactly.
are going to say, yeah, I get this. And so I'm going to follow up. And some people are going to say, yeah, this is interesting. It's not for me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and I'm okay with that.
Cool.
And so,
right.
I mean, it
well,
sounds like Kelly might need something more specific or much more focused. And so if that's the case, like I said, like you're the first door that I've knocked on, there might be another way I can get at just the high level introduction to the concepts. If you're going to be presenting a workshop, these are the things that you need to keep in mind. These are, you know what I mean? Like Yes. I might not need the same thing that she does. It sounds like I might, in fact, that might be the case.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and her strengths are completely different than yours. But I'm going to talk to her because she's the one who asked for this and she's been holding out for it. So
yeah,
I will talk to her and maybe she and I just get started with you and it gives her a bit of break of
yeah.
a break on the beginning sessions and then she and I finish, right? And
yeah.
The other idea I had recently is to record sessions, you know, if you and she were both open to that, which would then
uh-huh.
mean I could offer something where when you came to me, like if I already had this now, if I'd already recorded Kelly and Bob, you might be happy to get the recorded sessions and it would cost
exactly.
you $180, right?
Exactly.
And off you go.
Yep. Yep.
So that might be another way it's enticing to me to have you guys do it so that we have those recordings and I could
yep.
then use them to sell. And I want to just double check before I go any further about that. It sounds like you would be okay if that was part of our agreement.
I would be okay with that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, there. You have put
we
this together
around.
In a way.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said we came
what
around.
Did you say?
We
yes, we did.
A little
and...
bit, but we did come around to some clarity, I think.
Exactly. And it totally is an input way of doing things, which really tickles me about you, you know, that it's really fun to just say, well, okay, what can we do? And what do you need? And what do I need? And what might Kelly need? So let's find out what Kelly needs. And I need you to know I'm on vacation next week. So
okay.
if I don't get back to you until I'm back in the office on the 28th, that'd give you more input time to see what else you're doing. Would that work for you? Or were you wanting to know something more definitive so you could kind of weigh
oh,
it against
no, that's,
other
yeah.
things?
That's fine. I'm not in any, I don't have any particular urgency and I'm on the road and pretty preoccupied for the next 2 weeks. So, I mean, this is not the highest thing on my priority list at the moment. It's just a thing
yeah.
I happened to put some time into. So if there's urgency somewhere else, then, you know, but I'm fine. That's all to say. It's fine.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just gathering
so when are
information
you
at this point.
Less preoccupied and off of the road?
Beginning of February. Yeah. So
okay.
my timeline works fine for you, right? If you get back the 28th
yes.
after that, it's just these
yep.
next couple of weeks are busy.
Okay. Well, let's plan on reconnecting then around the 1st of February, either way. And if you know before then, you definitely want to do this or definitely don't, please let me know because, you know, that would
okay.
impact how I'm moving forward.
Otherwise, sure.
we can just connect back up then and I will have talked to Kelly and can give you some ideas of what we can do.
Okay. That sounds really great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was really fun to connect with you.
All right. So I will look to hear from you sometime the beginning of February.
Yep. Sounds great.
All right. All right.
All right.
Thanks. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye, Michelle.
Bye.